Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, County Commissioner from Washoe, Marsha Birkbigler, who also happens to be a lobbyist. An interesting juxtaposition. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Dick Gamick and Howard Rosenberg. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Who benefits from Nevada mining? Because mining contributes to products that touch our lives every day. Sensors and airbags and smoke detectors. Lime, gypsum, and copper for construction. Lithium for our smartphones and hybrid car batteries. Gold for life-saving medical equipment. And computers wouldn't work without products from mining. Products used all over the world come from right here in Nevada. Mining supports Nevada's families and their dreams. Visit our website and learn more.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program newly minted Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Birkbigler. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you.
So what's the first things that happen when you join the county commission?
Well, the first thing that happened is inundated with all kinds of issues. It's interesting, you know, because I've worked in government my entire career, although I've been on the outside representing business with government. But you think you know everything. When you go in there, you realize that instead of looking at it from the narrow perspective of your client, it's really a very broad perspective because the constituents have a broad interest in what's happening at the local government level, and they know your number, so they call you all the time or they email you all the time to let you know what their concerns and interests are. So it's really getting the broad brush of what's going on in our local government.
What's the thing that surprised you the most?
Oh, I think the thing that surprised me the most is the fact that the citizens' concerns are not always the primary reason why something gets done. And you know, that's sort of funny for someone who grew up in government to say that, but I'm a bit of a Pollyanna when it comes to representing the constituents, and I really always sort of thought that everybody who was working in government was really working with the focus of trying to do what was best for the constituents in the neighborhood. That isn't necessarily true. A lot of times what happens is what's best for the government, the local government, the state government, the agency that's there, and I guess that surprised me a great deal, and I'm sorry to hear that that's the case.
Do they throw you into the budget right away?
Not right away, but we're getting there, and I am on the budget committee, and so it will be very eye-opening. Budgets are nothing new for me because I've done budgets forever, but never budgets on the scale of the county, so it'll be an interesting experience.
Now, Washoe County, of course, for those folks listening in Southern Nevada, the second biggest county in the state, and we were noting over the weekend that, obviously mining is booming, so Northeast Nevada is doing very well. Central Nevada, because of that, is doing very well. It looks like Clark County has turned the corner.
Yes, it does.
How do you visualize Western Nevada at this point?
Well, I think it's starting to come out of the recession. We're seeing lots of businesses contacting EDON about relocating to Nevada.
That's the Economic Development Authority.
The Economic Development Authority relocating to Nevada. Moving out of California, I think perhaps California legislature did one of the best things they could have done for Nevada business growth, and that is put the tax on where they're trying to tax businesses wherever they are and that sort of thing. And it's a huge tax to a lot of businesses. I'm sure you've heard comments from other people, but I think that's very beneficial, because what we're seeing here in Northern Nevada is lots of businesses are contacting us. My partner and I, in my business, we also do economic diversification work on a state grant. We have a contract with the state for small business investment. Amazing the numbers of contacts we're getting from businesses who are interested in relocating or who are located here already and want to expand now and starting to look at growing. So it's happening. It's just not going to be gaming necessarily in Northern Nevada.
Well, it's not going to be gaming in Southern Nevada either, because you know the gambling portion has now dropped to 36% in Southern Nevada. And so it's really entertainment. It's really destination. It's really a venue to come and see. And I think that there's been a fair amount of diversification, even in Northern Nevada, in the type of product that the major properties are, you know, are opening. There's still going to be locals gaming joints, because people are going to want to gamble locally, and you're even seeing slot route operators making more money in places like grocery stores, which one would have thought would have gone away by now.
And when I use the term gaming, I use that term in the broad-based sense of gaming in Nevada, which is really tourism also. I mean, they are clearly two different things, but they're also been welded very strongly together in Nevada for many years. And so, of course, economic diversification includes businesses who want to come here for our quality of life in northeastern or northwestern Nevada. And so that's really what I think we're seeing now. They like the quality of life, they like the ski, they like the summer, they like, you know, they like the quick location to California, they like the Freeport aspect of this area. There's a lot of things that businesses like, and they are seriously starting to take a look at Northern Nevada. And I think we'll grow slower, but I think we are growing, and I think we're moving in the right direction.
I think one of the things that's interesting to me, and it just started being brought up on the program about a year ago, is that California is a great place to start a business, but once it's on the road to being successful, Nevada becomes a much better place to be.
That's absolutely true, and largely because of the tax base in California, the cost of living in California, the fact that business locations are, rent is more, leases are more, buildings cost more, houses cost more, and we have a really good school district in Northern Nevada. Unfortunately, we get lumped into the bad numbers that the whole state put together. But Washoe County School District is a very good school district. Our numbers are very good, and our kids are starting to graduate at higher levels, and that's a very important thing to businesses that are coming in. So I think we'll see that growth here in Northern Nevada.
Okay, more with Marcia Birkbigler when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Pro Business Workers' Comp Company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are continuing our conversation with Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Birkbigler, who has been a longtime lobbyist at the state legislature. And you have found a way to separate your county commission status from your business. And
yes.
So you continue to lobby at the legislature. What are the things that you are noticing when you prowl the halls of the legislature this session?
It's a much nicer session. The leadership of both houses seem to have an intent to do the people's business and move on. They don't appear to be there for aggrandizement of their own positions. In other words, they're not looking to climb the ladder to the next political position that they're after. They're really serious about trying to fix some problems. I think the other thing that's so amazing and so wonderful to me is education is on everybody's tongue. The conservative Republicans, the more liberal Democrats, everybody. They aren't agreeing necessarily on what they're going to do about education or how much money they're going to spend on education, but they're constantly agreeing that education is an issue we have to fix in Nevada.
What do you think about the loss of institutional knowledge? How is that gap being filled, if it's being filled?
Well, I don't know that it's being filled yet, but I think we're moving in that direction. I think we will move.
Has that become the lobbyist job now? Even more so than in the past? Because in a state like Nevada, where it's a citizen legislature, no legislator can, unless they've been in the legislature for 30 or 40 years, which nobody is anymore, can possibly understand all the different issues. And therefore, lobbyists, if they're honest lobbyists, and most are, come in to give the point of view of their industry, and the best ones really give both sides.
Both sides, absolutely.
So has that fallen more now, do you think, to the lobbying community?
To key staff players, so in other words, those people who have been staff for many years on key committees, the money committees, which of course is extremely important, those people have institutional memory, and of course the longtime lobbyists have institutional memory. And clearly that's what happens. That's the upside and the downside to term limits. You lose that control in the elected official, and you put it in behind the scenes sort of in officials who are not necessarily elected. And I think you're right. I think most lobbyists go in there with the attitude that they're going to try and do an honest job, and they're going to try and fairly represent their constituent at the same time that they're not negatively creating a problem for the other constituent. And, you know, lobbyists is not really a four-letter word, although lots of people like to think it is. They're really educators. And so that's kind of the attitude I've taken with it.
Well, the top lobbyists I've known over the years have always said to me that the most important thing they have is their name and their reputation.
Absolutely.
And if they lose that, then their career is over.
If you don't have your credibility, so if I go and sit down before a legislator or a committee and I say something that is not credible to my client base, and I represent, you know, healthcare providers and that kind of thing, but then I am not, I've lost my credibility with the committee, and the next time I go in there, although I may be totally credible about what I'm saying, I'm not going to be necessarily believed. And so I think that is the most important thing any lobbyist has, is their credibility. I also think that's the most important thing any elected official has. So for me, it kind of ties into both positions that I hold.
Now, of course, you mentioned in our earlier segment that you have kind of a Pollyanna attitude. I'm sure that the mining lobbyists are not walking around happy.
I think they're not. You know, I used to be a mining lobbyist many years ago, and I worked for Freeport-McMoRan Gold, which is no longer in the state, but the mine is still there, and it's owned by another company. And so I was very active when the current law went into effect. We were always locked into the Constitution, but we did a concerted effort at the request of a number of legislators, including Marvin Sedway, who you might remember from Las Vegas. And we did a concerted effort to change the law to make it more reflective of the types of taxes that they're paying. And I'm sure that they're not very happy right now, but you know that's not unusual. Next time it may be doctors' lobbyists who are unhappy about something. Bring tort reform before the legislature, and you've got two groups of lobbyists, those who are lawyers after tort reform and those who are doctors trying to protect the industry and the patients. And so, you know, that's the way the legislature works.
But isn't it better to do it at the legislature rather than through the initiative process?
In my opinion, absolutely. I think one of the things you can say about California is that they have an initiative form of government. Many of the things that are wrong with California were initiatives, and it's much better to have an elected body sit down in a public venue and make clear and concise legislation that's much more effective.
You said that education is on the minds of everybody, and that's the big topic at this session. But it really splits into two areas, which is one, teachers' pay versus, and I shouldn't say versus, but teachers' pay and money actually going towards the classroom.
That's correct.
So how is that going to, do you think, play out?
Well, the initiative petition is going to a vote of the people, and
right.
That's about teachers' salaries, as well as teachers, not just their salaries. That money will not be used just for salaries, but for teachers' needs. It's not earmarked to do things for the school district. And I think that's very key, that issue, in my opinion, that issue is very dangerous to the growth of business in Northern Nevada. So I think we need to look at balancing that. But do we need to do something about the infrastructure in our school district in Northern Nevada and Washoe County? Without question, we do. And so we have to look
But do you think it should be done through the Washoe County School Board having the ability to raise taxes, even if it's just one time?
Well, let me tell you that I don't speak for the county on this issue. The commission has not taken a position on it. But I'll tell you the same thing that I've told other press who have said anything to me. In my opinion, that sets major precedent. Certainly major precedent in Northern Nevada. And I, from my perspective as a commissioner, I would rather it came to me because I'm going to get credit for it anyway. So I'd like to at least have a say in it. The thing that worries me about putting it to the school district is, where's the oversight? Where's the guarantee? If it's to the commission and the commission doesn't oversee it and make sure that it's done, it's actually used for improving school districts, we will get hit by the constituents. They will come to us. But will that be as obvious if it goes to the school district? So that's my personal opinion. Again, let me say I do not speak for the county on that issue, and certainly don't speak for the commission, because the commission has not addressed that issue yet.
Okay, but quick answer. Personally, do you support this method of raising taxes? Okay, that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you so much. Always
a
pleasure to see you. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Afternoon games are best before noon.
Single game tickets for the 2013 Reno Aces season are on sale now. To purchase, call 334-7000 or visit renoaces.com.
Hi, I'm Matthew Hole, and I'd like to invite you to the Subaru Love Spring event going on now at Michael Hole Subaru in Carson City. We're excited to feature the newly redesigned 2014 Subaru Forester. And right now we have a variety of styles and colors to choose from. And we have a complete lineup of 2013 Subarus, including Legacies, Outbacks, BRZs, and more. We're a Nevada company run by Nevadans. And with the new freeway, we're just 18 minutes from Reno. So come in today for the Subaru Love Spring event and become part of the Michael Hole family. And remember, if you don't shop Michael Hole, you'll pay too much.
If you have been diagnosed with lung cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. Even with a history of smoking, you may still qualify. Asbestos trusts have been established, and billions of dollars have been paid to people with lung cancer or mesothelioma. To learn more, contact us now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-950-MESO. For nearly two decades, we've been fighting for people with lung cancer and mesothelioma. Call us at 1-800-950-MESO. Lung cancer and mesothelioma. Don't fight it alone.
Afternoon games are best before noon.
Single game tickets for the 2013 Reno Aces season are on sale now. To purchase, call 334-7000 or visit renoaces.com.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Dick Gamick is here, the Washoe County District Attorney, and not to arrest Howard Rosenberg, our other panelist, who is UNR Professor of Art and Art Education. We had Joyce Haldeman on the program yesterday, who's the Associate Superintendent of Clark County School District. Mm-hmm. And in response to a couple of my questions, she was curious as to whether I was trying to promote a war between Washoe County and Clark County school districts. And I assured her that I was not in my questioning. But do you feel that, you know, the funding issues that are affecting higher education are now creeping into the funding for education in the school districts?
Of course. They have been for years. There's only so much money. There are so many people. There are two ends of the state. So naturally, they're going to keep this north-south crap going on forever. There is no problem. We have a superintendent here, and we have an acting superintendent there who talk to one another. So what they're going to try to do is make it right for both parts of the state.
Dick, do you get the sense that we're seeing this all over again from a law enforcement angle, you know, on a county basis? Or funding issues?
No, I don't think we're walking into that at all. I've been in here and bragged numerous times about how well and how effective we work with everyone else. And any time that I need to, I pick up the phone and call Steve Wolford. I'll call the sheriff down there, Gillespie. In fact, this afternoon we're having a crime commission meeting, which is statewide, and we have the southern and northern and middle, everybody else. I think that the north-south battle may go on a little bit down the legislature,
sure,
and at other times it raises its head, but I just don't see as much as I used to see. It just isn't this pull it in like it used to.
Okay, for folks on the radio, Dick was hugging himself there.
Oh, well, but as long as we're not hugging me, everything's fine. There is a problem, Sam, and the problem isn't north-south. The problem is the large population areas as opposed to the ones that are small. We have very small counties, and they need money just as much as anybody else does. Their kids deserve the best education that we can give them, just as our kids do. So that's going to be a bit of a problem, trying to maneuver things around so that everyone gets at least as fair a share as possible. But I keep telling people that ask me this, what part of we don't have any money don't you get? There is a very, very restricted pot to pull from. Everybody's doing the best they can.
So, you know what's scary, if I may throw this in, because we just dealt with it this week. We have our chief's breakfast once a month, and we had that Tuesday morning, and we have a captain from California Highway Patrol comes over and joins us.
Yeah.
And he was saying they just did testing, and they had 1,800 applicants or something. They thinned that down to quite a few. But then when they gave the written exam, which was the first test, more than half of them failed it. And that's scary. If we're putting out that many people illiterate through the system, that's in California, and I'm not familiar with their education system, it's still scary.
Your response to Howard?
We have a problem, and I think I'm beginning to understand something that I've not understood before. Sam, you know, the little ones, I mean, from the time they're toddlers, they play with these video games. Now, there's been an awful lot of psychologists who have been suggesting this is not the wisest thing to do because the pathways that are supposed to be established aren't being established properly. I spoke with a doctor here in town, Rick Meyer, who is very much interested in seeing whether or not the lack of advancement that we're seeing may not be due to something like that. These kids cannot track a single line of print. They're used to looking at a big picture with everything going on like that. So when it comes to trying to read a single line of print, they get tired, they don't know where they're looking, and their comprehension is really, really bad.
All right, but if that's the case, and I'm not saying it is, but if that's the case, you know, this has been a 40-year-old problem. I mean, video games have been around a long time.
Well, it's not just the video games.
Multi-screen activity has been around a long time.
It's not just the video games now.
Dick has just whipped out his cell phone.
It is turned off. But they're like this all the time.
Yep.
It's not just video games. It's texting. Texting's the big one. We
got
our grandson at home, and he's in high school, and he has got this thing going all the time. So it's a bigger problem than just the video games and going into your living room.
Sam, go to any restaurant in the world, cafeterias, and schools at noon. There are people sitting around the table all with their phones. They don't talk to one another. They may be texting the person that's right across from them. That's insane. We've got, and you also, there's a generation that has to take to come along to see what this has done. This isn't something that's 40 years old. This is something that's older than that. And it's a question of diagnosing where the real problem is. And I don't think The only problem we have is we don't have bright children. We have very bright children.
All right, but at the same time, you know, you talk about reading. People are reading more than they've ever read before, in part because of their phones, because of their iPads, because of their Kindles, downloading books.
Who is reading more, Sam?
My granddaughter is 16 years old, and she's the most voracious reader on the planet.
That's
give her a card for the Apple Store, and she's got 14 books being downloaded.
That's fantastic. What's she reading? I'll guarantee
the Twilight
it's the
series.
Hunger Games.
Right. There's something wrong with that as literature.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. Is she reading anything about Shakespeare? Is she reading
She's
Gilgamesh?
16 years old. I wasn't
Why
reading
not?
About Shakespeare either.
I was. At 12.
Yeah, Howard, you were a little
No. This was part of the curriculum in Boston, Massachusetts.
Right, but that was in the 1800s. We're in the year 2013.
Oh, so the kids we're not going to demand as much from them?
No, we are
demanding. Ding, ding, end of round one. We'll take a 30-second break here. Out. Get it back together, boys.
This is fun.
And this is where we have to...
Oh, you always run away from a good argument.
All I'm saying is that kids are reading just as much, if not more, and they're doing it on different devices.
What are they reading?
What difference
Sam?
Does it make
it
as long as it's in English or
gotta,
whatever language
Sam,
they speak?
Don't be ridiculous.
I gotta agree with Sam.
Sorry,
I grew up reading westerns.
Zane Grey.
Exactly. In England.
My God.
We'll continue this at a future date. I gotta put the fire out. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time.
Now listen,
we don't just practice law here in Reno.
This is our home.
Careless conduct is a danger to everyone.
When we help people recover from their accidents and injuries,
it sends a message. Slow down around schools. Don't tailgate. Don't text and drive. And don't drink and drive.
This helps to make our community safer.
If you've been injured, give us a call. I'm Bob Jensen.
And I'm Graham Galloway.
For your free consultation, call Galloway and Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should too.
Only at Home Solutions at Ace. A new selection of beautiful bonded leather dual recliner sofas from Signature Designs. Only $6.99. Plus, seniors save an additional 10%. At this price, they won't last long. What's more, Home Solutions at Ace is the ultimate custom furniture dealer in Northern Nevada. Pick your wood, pick your finish, pick your fabric. Heck, bring in your design, and we'll work with you to create whatever you have in mind. It's all here and more at your locally owned Home Solutions at Ace, the hardware store that contains an entire furniture center.
If it's the latest gadget, I gotta have it.
Now, if only we could get them all to work together.
No problem. At RC Willie, we're experts with smart TVs. And we can connect and install all of your electronics. So you're good to go. If you want your TV in an entertainment center or mounted on the wall, our professionals will connect all your devices so everything works seamlessly. Smart TVs start at $399. This Samsung 40-inch TV is only $529. RC Willie, your home, your way.
Do your cabinets look worn out and outdated? They work fine, but they don't look fine. What do you do to make them look new again? Call Enhance, the revolutionary affordable way to renew your cabinets and wood floors in Sparks. Enhance in just one day could have your cabinets or floors look new again. Enhance can change the color of your cabinets too for so much less than buying new. Look at these before and after photos. Amazing in just one day. Call Enhance in Sparks now for free in-home consultation at 358-8808.
As always, you can watch the Mad Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, the president of the Nevada Resort Association, Virginia Valentine, will be here to see you.